Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to our newest edition of Making Waves on LakeChelanNow.com. I'm Dennis Rahm. Glad to have you along. Steve Bieqvist still out and about traveling the country, and I know he's having a great time. I had the chance to catch up on a brief phone conversation a few days ago, so enjoy your time away, Steve. And we hope you enjoy a conversation today that we'll be having coming up in just a little bit. That will be with a couple of members of the Chelan County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff Brian Burnett himself, and also the sergeant who patrols for the Lake Chelan Valley, Chris Foreman, will visit with us as well, as they were recently in town for a community chat and coffee that was held at the Vogue in downtown Chelan on Wooden Avenue. So we'll be looking forward to conversation about things that pertain primarily to the Lake Chelan Valley, but also we'll talk to the sheriff himself about why they are embarking on this campaign of reaching out to the communities in what essentially is a very non-threatening way, and hopefully a chance to just get to know their communities a little bit better. We'll hear more on that. I will suffice it to say that many of you had an outstanding Halloween, and if you were fortunate enough to get out and about, hopefully you saw the Thriller Dance that was held in downtown Chelan. Chelan has been having trick-or-treat downtown for a number of years now. It's a great event. The kids certainly love it, as do a lot of the adults. Also, a community trick-or-treat was held in Manson at the North Shore Bible Church, so the kiddies there had a chance to get out and have a great time. And before we get into conversation, also want to give out some congratulations to some entities that have pretty big milestones. Recently completed, it was Kelly's Hardware with their 60th anniversary celebration. And congratulations going out to Ben Higgins of Chelan, by the way, as he won that $1,000 Traeger barbecue that was up for grabs, as he had the lucky key that unlocked the lock to win that barbecue. So congratulations to all the folks at Kelly's, 60 years that it has been Kelly's Hardware. The store itself is about 90 years old, if you count the time of the previous owner. But 60th year anniversary went off without a hitch. And if you missed our Making Waves of a couple of weeks ago, great conversation on there with 90-year-old co-owner Gene Kelly. You might want to catch it. You'll find it under our Making Waves tab and get a chance to hear from 90-year young Gene Kelly and what it's like for him to still love a job so much that he goes in on a regular basis. Also, we want to just make sure that you put this one on your calendar. Still time to get out and enjoy it. Lake Chelan Community Hospital will be celebrating their 70th anniversary on Saturday, November the 3rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Lake Chelan Chamber of Commerce offices. You are invited to the 70th anniversary for our local hospital. All right, we promised you conversation with the Chelan County Sheriff's Office. We will certainly have that, and we'll begin the talk with Chelan County Sheriff Brian Burnett. Brian, what was the genesis? How did this whole thing come about?
Well, actually, it was. I give most of the credit to Mayor Cooney. I know he reached out to our office knowing that the firefighters were doing something similar here locally in Chelan and wanted to know if we were interested, and we said absolutely, and working with Sergeant Foreman, and obviously he's got a perfect place for it here at the Vogue. You know, and we're not particular on necessarily where we do it, but just making ourselves available, you know, even sometimes on a small scale. If people can come and talk about their things, they can bring us information that maybe we wouldn't have thought of, or concerns that they can bring in a direct dialogue. When sometimes just shooting an email and talking about your frustrations, it's hard unless you can kind of talk back and forth and point out particulars on, you know, how do we fight and deal with this issue over here, and talking about the negatives and the positives and legally what you can or what you can't do in liability situations. So it just makes for a great setting in a it's a friendly environment, you know, there's non-threatening, and so people can just sit down over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and talk about some issues that might be on their mind or just general questions. They just might, hey, I've always been curious about this.
In reality, it's a public relations opportunity for the sheriff's office to rub shoulders with those in their communities.
Absolutely. And we did community meetings, you know, the first 4 years that I was sheriff back from 2011 through 15. We found out that they just weren't that productive, unfortunately. And then, so we try to make ourselves more available. And obviously social media changed that over the last few years. We try to put out as much information as we can. But again, there's still something that we lose by not having that dialogue face to face, or just the availability of it. So we'll probably try to start going back to some of those type of meetings, but maybe not in the same format that we had before, but in a way that make ourselves more accessible to the community. And it's not a bad thing for me either. I love the opportunity to get out of the office. It's a great way to again reconnect. And not only with the public, but even with our staff, to look at the resources that we're using for taxpayers' money, training and equipment. How is it being applied? How do our staff, our boots on the ground, look at it? What's working? What's not working? They're coming up, new people, new fresh ideas, new generation, and how they can say, well, hey, Sheriff, I think these are some things we need to look at in the future, because our ideas aren't always going to come from our administration. Most of the time, they're going to come from our younger staff that are actually doing the work on the ground.
Now, as you have the opportunity to be here, and as you said, it's been a while since you've done these types of things, a little different means of doing it here with this community coffee chat. Is it something here, let's say, at least in some of the areas around the county that you see continuing?
Oh, absolutely. We've been doing, we started one in Wenatchee that I share that with Douglas County Sheriff Kevin Morris. We started that a couple months ago. And again, the challenge was, do we keep it in one location or do we move it around? Because, again, as you and I talked earlier, is that, potentially we're only going to have the people that normally go to that coffee shop or wherever you have the attendance. And so what we want to do is try to be able to meet and reach as many people as we can, and maybe the people that wouldn't drop what they're doing and come in just to meet with us for that event. But if we can meet them where they are, it would give them opportunities to open up dialogue with us.
Now, the visit here in Chelan was set up essentially not to have a topic per se, but just to let people come in, introduce themselves to you, and just talk about whatever.
Exactly. It is. It's not. There's not a set agenda. We don't come here with a say, hey, I'm going to present this or I'm going to talk about this. We do bring some annual reports that are available if people want to look through those to give them some ideas. But generally, most people come in and have a specific one or two things that they'd like to discuss and what it meets them in their world and where they're at, or an experience or something that they've had happen to them in the past.
Now, I know you had the opportunity to visit with a handful of people here today. Any topics come up that maybe were a surprise to you?
No, not necessarily. I mean, we talked a little bit about some fire season stuff and how that can kind of cohabitate with ourselves, emergency management, and the fire industry side of it. And then obviously it's a big topic here in Lake Chelan always is our Marine Patrol enforcement and what we can do, how can we do better, what's been working and different things like that. And it was great because we had a Sergeant Foreman here who is our supervisor and lead for our Marine Patrol unit.
Yeah, that's been a topic ongoing for a number of years, as you're probably well aware of. And the Marine Patrol unit has gone through different phases. It used to be a very active volunteer Marine Corps here in terms of people on the water that had a lot of experience. And then that kind of went away for a while. And I get the impression now it's an effort underway to try and maybe build up, maybe in a different manner, but the volunteer Marine program.
Right. And, we'll go back a few years when before Sergeant Randy Foltz, who was in charge of that program years ago, before he retired, he had, a great following. Randy just had a really good relationship, had built the program up. And then when we replaced him and in the program changed, different leadership, there was just a different dynamic. And we had some people retire out of that program as volunteers. But again, and this is a topic we talked about with someone here today, was volunteer services and what does that look like? Because a large part of our volunteer services is search and rescue, Marine Patrol, and then reserve deputies who actually have to have a state certification to be able to work in that. So it's a much more requirement on what it takes for training and certification on their part. But again, things have really changed in liability and codes and laws and stuff and how we look at that and risk management when we look with our county administrator and the risk pool from Washington State. So there's a lot of different things that's challenging for our volunteer services, but we have a very strong search and rescue program. We have a very strong, but I would say smaller reserve deputy program, and I don't see that changing in numbers just because the requirements both for qualification, for the hiring side of it and background, and then also for the training and certification and remaining certified in the training that we requires us now for someone to actually be able to enforce laws and carry a gun is just going to be way up there. So we just know that there's not that many people that are going to be able to commit to that. And so we're good knowing that we're going to have those smaller numbers, but we're going to have a good program. You know, we're going to be qualified and strong in the few that we have. But we are looking to bring our Marine Patrol program back up, and that's something that Sergeant Foreman's going to be working on in the future.
Do you almost feel like, no pun intended here, but you're swimming upstream a little bit in terms of it was a larger Marine Patrol program here? I'm speaking now specifically to Lake Chelan, because you're responsible for not just Lake Chelan. You've got lakes, you got the Columbia River, and other bodies of water. But the increase in tourism has been rather significant here over the last 15, 20 years in Chelan, and more boats, more marinas dotting the shores of Lake Chelan. So I would think that puts added pressure and in many ways makes it more difficult for you guys to have enough bodies out there to really patrol the waters.
It is, and unfortunately you have to go where the numbers are, where the calls for service come in, and that is generally around the populated areas of the city of Chelan waters. And again, we're responsible for all of Lake Chelan, you know, 50 some miles, and also the Columbia River, in which we have, you know, the lower pool and the upper pool. So below Rocky Reach, between Rocky Reach and Rock Island dams, and then above Rocky Reach, which is primarily around the Lake Aniad area. And so we don't get in regular enforcement there. We have times where we try to implement and go in, but those just do not give us the calls for service. And then we have Lake Wenatchee, depending on if they have a salmon fishing season up there. There's times where they'd like us to have some enforcement up there. So we actually have to, you know, we have to move and haul our boats and do some different things. And then that's not even talking about whitewater rescue with our, you know, rafting and tubing and different areas, specifically mostly on the Wenatchee River between Leavenworth and the Columbia.
I have a question as to whether or not, is there a plan in place? It was Memorial Day weekend when a fire sprung up on the north shore of Lake Chelan. They believe it was probably someone kicking out a cigarette butt, but it fanned up quickly because of wind, got very close to a number of new home structures up on the hillside, and the helicopters came in quickly and were having bucket drops put onto this fire. But there was an issue with a lot of what I will refer to as looky-loo boaters, because it was a holiday weekend, there was a fair amount of boaters on the water, and quite frankly, they were in the way of this helicopter trying to get down safely to get water and then put it on the fire. Is there a plan in place where if typically maybe there's not a patrol officer on the lake at that time, that you can make a quick call and say, we need some traffic control to keep the boaters out of the way? Because, as you know, you can't always rely on the public to make the right decision when they're on the water.
Right, and that's something that's always been in place. When we work with Incident Command, when they have their fire camp set up and they've got the team that's running the management on those fires, they work directly, and we have a LLS on somebody that's assigned to that fire through our emergency management program or through the sheriff's office. There will always be somebody that's tied into Incident Command, and so that information will be coming by. If they know they're going to be doing water bucket drops and pulling water out of a certain reservoir, or waterway in a place that's anywhere populated, they will bring that information and actually make the request, and that's where we step up, and then they actually will pay, and we'll staff that vessel to be there to do that safety enforcement for them.
That part I understand. I'm talking more of the emergency. There were no fire camps. This is early in the season, you know, the end of May. We're not into wildfire season actually at that point. This fire sprung up quickly, fanned quickly. And I guess the question, I'll go back to it a little bit, is there a policy in place? Is there a means of getting someone, a Marine Patrol officer, on the lake to take care of that traffic of boats as maybe impeding the helicopter operations?
Well, it would just come at a request and what's going on in that situation. Are we doing evacuation notices? What are the staffing levels? And looking at safety priorities. And so that recommendation and request would still always come from the fire side, because of their pilots would be the ones, or their safety coordinators would be making that request. Or, I mean, I guess you could have that request come in from a citizen saying, hey, I see some problems in there. But the pilots themselves and the safety coordinators for the fire suppression programs are the ones that would identify if there's a need for that. And they'd be in direct communication with us, put that request in. And if that was, then we would get somebody in one of our boats to go do that patrol.
Let me ask you about the difference between maybe here in Chelan today. You've done this in Wenatchee, you talked about. I'm curious, different locales, different issues. I suspect you get different things that come up in the conversation that more pertain to geographically where a city is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you talk about Lake Chelan, it is its own community. And so very much specific to the things here around where they work, live, recreate. Obviously, the lake has a big piece of that. The waterways, that's a big piece of it. Wenatchee, I would say, would be more in general terminology. But again, Lake Chelan definitely has its own community and brings its own set of issues, both good and bad.
Our thanks to Chelan County Sheriff Brian Burnett. We'll come back, have more conversation regarding the Chelan County Sheriff's Office, this time with the sergeant who is in charge of the Lake Chelan Valley contingent. And that, of course, will be Chris Foreman when we come back after the break here on Making Waves on LakeChelanNow.com.
Did you know that Chelan Realty is the oldest real estate firm in the Lake Chelan Valley? The Higgins family has owned Chelan Realty since 1972, and nobody knows the local real estate market better. If you're looking to buy, they'll help you find and purchase the right home or property for your needs. If you're looking to sell real estate, Chelan Realty will help you price the home or property and put it on the market for a quick sale. Ask them about their free market analysis or find it on their website at ChelanRealty.com.
And we welcome you back here to Making Waves on LakeChelanNow.com. Dennis Ron, glad to have you aboard with us. And now let's continue with the conversation from the recent community chat and coffee that was held in downtown Chelan involving the Chelan County Sheriff's Office. As this time around, we get to speak with the head of the Lake Chelan Division, Sergeant Chris Foreman, who also is the head of the Marine Patrol Volunteer Program. Chris, in terms of the overall perspective, you're relatively new to having the Lake Chelan Valley being your major assignment, your area. How's it been going for you?
Good. I mean, it's been, learning as I go and getting, comfortable and familiar with the community here in the Chelan Valley. But I feel like so far so good, so to speak, getting, connected with the schools in Manson and Chelan and making sure that from a safety perspective, our transition with our school resource officer went well, and making sure that, folks are happy on that end of things. And then this summer, just the busyness that comes with resort community, and also taking over the Marine Patrol coordinator position and working with our Marine Patrol folks on the water and making sure the everyone's safe out there on the lake. And so, those things, I would say, definitely kept me busy and were good experiences working with the city council and the mayor and just all those different entities, making sure that we're educating vacationers that are coming over from different places and might not be familiar with the boating laws, so to speak, or, the rules of the road here in the city of Chelan. So just trying to get out and educate and contact those folks, but make sure that it's still a positive interaction with law enforcement while they're here, and hopefully that they still want to come back.
Chris, what's your background? Where did you come from?
So I grew up in the Bay Area of California. My dad was a cop for 12 years, and then he was in the FBI for 20 years. And so did a little bit of moving around while he was in the FBI. Started out in Jacksonville, Florida, and then moved to the Bay Area when I was in second grade, and then went there through high school. And then attended Seattle Pacific University, and that's how I got up to the Northwest and got a bachelor's degree in communication. And then started testing with law enforcement agencies and ended up getting hired here at the Chelan County Sheriff's Office and moved over. Didn't know anybody, but looked around and said, man, this is a pretty amazing place to live and work, and never left.
So how long have you been with the Sheriff's Office?
In February, it'll be 16 years that I've been with the Sheriff's Office.
Primarily in Wenatchee area?
So I have worked all over. When I first started out, I was in the Cashmere area, and then I worked the Valley, which is, Wenatchee, anywhere not in the city limits of Wenatchee, but in the surrounding areas, Malaga, up to Monitor and out, pretty much anyone that's not incorporated. And then I got promoted to a supervisor position as a corporal. And as a corporal, you don't have assigned area, so you just go wherever there's gaps or people are on vacation or training. So I started working in Tyre County, and then got promoted as a patrol sergeant. And then same thing. So I'd spend, you know, kind of a third of the time in each of the areas, just depending on, you know, where the needs were for coverage. And then the last almost 7 years before January, I was supervisor for the Columbia River Drug Task Force. So I was primarily, you know, working the whole Wenatchee Valley, to include Douglas County. But, you know, that position takes you, you know, all over the.
I would imagine that position has a lot of wear and tear on you as well. The transition to being assigned here to the Lake Chelan Valley, has that been something now that you kind of you've embraced it?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I do miss some of the intellectual challenges of the drug work, but I would say my family really likes this current position that I'm in, because they see me a lot more. It's a set schedule for the most part, and so when I say I'm going to be home at a certain time, I am. That wasn't the case with my other position. So it's been good for some consistency in the home life.
And now you move into a totally different season here, because as you mentioned, the busy tourist season that happens in spring through fall, now we're transitioning into winter. Probably, I would suspect, looking to a little less hectic time.
Yeah, talking with the patrol guys, you know, if you look back historically, you know, when we're in the summer months, everything's reactive. We're responding to calls that are coming out. But in the winter months, it actually allows us to be proactive, and it allows us to, you know, target areas. For example, we had a boat motor theft out on South Lake Shore, and we had some surveillance footage that gives us some time frame of, you know, when these folks came in and did that crime. And we tend to get burglaries of those secondary homes or vacation homes. And so we've, you know, coming up with a plan on, okay, what can we do to try to catch these guys? And being that it's slower, it allows us to have more freedom to get out to those outlying areas and really make a presence and hopefully deter or catch these criminals that are out, you know, vandalizing or stealing from our community members.
I'm curious, Chris, there have been a lot of sightings of wildlife. Started with bear right in the middle of downtown by Morgan Owens Elementary earlier on, but a lot of cougar sightings. Do you get involved in that? Are the people calling you when they see a cougar?
We do, and you know, we're essentially, you know, the first call comes into our dispatch, and they try to get them in touch with Wildlife Fish and Game, but Wildlife Fish and Game's pretty spread out, and so we might initially deal with it, and then depending on the response time of Wildlife Fish and Game, if they're available, they will respond as well, and then we'll kind of hand it over to them. But we're kind of that first response if someone's got a cougar in their tree in their yard or whatever, and we're going to get there a lot quicker than Fish and Game for the most part.
Lastly, this opportunity here to meet in your community now with the general public in just kind of a very relaxed environment with this community coffee chat, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I think it's a great idea and an event, and you know, Mayor Cooney came to me and said, hey, I want to create an environment where people feel comfortable talking to law enforcement, and hopefully we can build bridges together, so to speak. And so I think it's a great idea, and we at the Sheriff's Office, especially Sheriff Burnett and I, are all for it, and we want to be available to the public and hear from the people that we serve and protect and get ideas from them or issues that maybe we're not aware of that they're seeing. And you know, all it's all about partnership and working together. So I'm optimistic and hopeful that this event will bring the community together and help us do that much better of a job serving the needs of the people of Chelan and the Chelan Valley.
Did anything surprise you today in what you heard?
You know, I think talking about, you know, the marine or the boating situation on the lake, I mean, it's, if you really look at, you know, from a big picture, you know, it's probably the busiest body of water in the state of Washington. You know, looking at lakes and you know, Columbia River, and comparing the numbers, and we really just have people from Canada, you know, Oregon, Idaho. Although I mean, we've seen boat tabs up from Oregon. That everybody comes here to vacation, and it just creates a kind of a unique set of problems with the amount of boats that are on the water. And especially right here, kind of in the city limits waterway with rentals. And so trying to figure out and be progressive in how to address those issues. So, you know, the locals are happy and they're able to enjoy the lake that they've come here to live on, and then also educating the vacationers of what the rules of the water are, and so everybody's safe. And so I think, you know, again, you know, bolstering our volunteer program to get some help out there for us on Marine Patrol, because you know, more people that we have, an extra set of eyes, and then also, you know, contacts that we can make at the boat launches and at the parks, and just getting that education piece out there. So I think that was one of the things that was helpful for me to hear today while we were sitting around drinking coffee. And I think you know, there's some great ideas out there that we can all work together to put into place.
I guess one of the upsides, Chris, concerning the lake is, even though it's 55 miles long, really the concentration of the activity is about the lower 10 miles.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when we do, you know, we do make it up to, you know, the less traveled parts of the lake, but I feel like those folks that are on that body of the water are locals, or they're people that are, you know, heading out to boat camp, or they're heading up to Stehekin or Lucerne, and so they're, you know, they're more well-prepared. And they're not the ones that are, you know, causing the issues. And you have the majority of the boat traffic here right by the city of Chelan, and you've got the beaches and the parks and boats coming, or jet skis trying to get in and out of there. And so those are the kind of the unique problems that, you know, that we tend to deal with and get called to. And so it's just, it's almost like kind of two lakes. You got the upper lake, which, you know, is not as well traveled, but the people that are traveling, it seem to be, you know, people that have been boating for a long time. They're comfortable being on a boat. They know the rules of the water. And then you know, the section of the lake here where the rentals are, a lot of novice boaters that are not essentially paying attention at times, or just don't know any better. And so trying to get the emphasis on contacting those people and educating them before an accident happens.
Chris, if someone had intended to be here, wasn't able to, but they still want to communicate some concerns or ideas to you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, there's some different ways to reach out. The Sheriff's Office has a Facebook page. There's also our website. We have a tip line on there. And then there's you know, different ways you can direct message on Facebook to the Sheriff's Office. But I believe our intent is to try to do this periodically. So if they didn't make this one, they can hopefully make the next one. And, you know, we'll try to make it an ongoing event to make sure that people, if they want to come, can make it.
All right. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Pleasure.
Well, that's our show for this week. Our thanks very much to Sergeant Chris Foreman and to Chelan County Sheriff Brian Burnett, our guests this week on Making Waves. For now, so long. Until next time around, Dennis Rahm, Making Waves on LakeChelanNow.com.